Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
It's good to be here tonight, and we are in Mark chapter 7. Lord willing, I'm going to look at the last verses there, verses 31 through 37, which is dealing with Jesus healing a deaf man. And this is the only place you're going to find this particular miracle mentioned in the Bible, this deaf man that Jesus heals. And there's a lot of things here that we want to look at in these verses, so we'll go right ahead and read our text. Mark chapter 7. Start with verse 31. If you're able to stand, please stand to read in God's Word tonight. Mark 7. Start with verse 31. And here the Bible says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto them, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He has done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Thank you for this service we've had thus far, Lord. I thank you for the good spirit. And God, we just now ask you to help us for just a few minutes to be able to preach on this text, and that you'll be the one glorified in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, we pick up our studies where we left off 2 weeks ago. Before this, we saw that Jesus was there trying to get away from things for a while. He and his disciples had not had any break at all. They'd been going and healing, and Jesus had been teaching, and so this has been going on and on. And so they needed a break, and Jesus tried to do that, tried to take a little mini vacation. It even goes all the way over into the lands of the Gentiles to get away from everybody. And, of course, people follow him. And turns out there was a Syrophoenician woman that came there that was desperate. Her daughter had a devil and was bad off. And so she came and she was begging for just a crumb from the master's table. And the Lord, after some time there, after he explained his mission here on this earth, then he saw the great faith that this lady had. And he spoke the very words, and her daughter was healed immediately. Just like that, because of her great faith. Well, tonight as we finish up chapter 7, we're going to see Jesus performing yet another great miracle, but this time on a deaf man. Now, as I've already mentioned, Mark's gospel is the only one that mentions this particular miracle. Jesus has been spending time, of course, going from place to place performing miracles. That was one of the signs of the Messiah that he was to fulfill. And so the Jews that were looking for their Messiah to come, this was one of the things they would have been looking for, was someone that could come and do that. We know that the prophets prophesied that he would come and open blinded eyes and deaf ears, and he would unstop those. And so that was the sign they should have been looking for. And some of them were looking, but some of them were looking too much into it here. And they were not understanding exactly who Jesus was. But his fame was spread abroad everywhere, and so he had large groups of people following him everywhere that he went. He just could not get away from them. And so after he leaves there, after he heals this Syrophoenician woman's daughter, he gets on a boat and he goes back down the coast a piece, and he's staying away from Galilee. Back in Galilee, if you remember, the last time he was there, the Pharisees and some of the scribes had came, and they were causing a lot of trouble for Jesus. And question him on things and wanting him to perform miracles and all this, just trying to tempt him, the Bible says. Well, it has really gotten to be a hot spot there. Galilee is about to boil over with these folks that are coming against Jesus. Even though a lot of are accepting him and he's done a lot of great things there, it's time for him to withdraw from there for a while. And he does this for a purpose. He's going to withdraw there to let things kind of settle down. He's going into these Gentile lands. And this is unusual, really, because we know that his mission was to come here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he's made that very plain. He's told his disciples, don't go into the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, don't go to this and that. But we're here for the Jews, who they were for. We see that he goes down into this, departs, it says, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, where he just healed that lady's daughter. And he came under the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And so this is a withdrawing here. And he goes to Decapolis. Decapolis is not a city. Decapolis is a region of 10 cities, in fact. It's an area. And the very meaning of the word, a deca is 10 and apolis is a city. So 10 cities is what that word means. So he goes into this area. And these are Gentile lands, Greeks that live there. These are not Jewish established places. Some of the cities there that you'll find are Damascus, Apaton, Philadelphia, Raphana, Psychopolis, Gadara, that's one we're familiar with already from Mark, Hipponotion, Pella, Galassa, and Kanatha. Some of them, some strange, hard words to pronounce. But this is where he's at. And like I said, it's predominantly all Gentile people that live there. Look at verse 32. It says, "And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him." Well, with all these folks following Jesus and knowing what he did, and by the way, he's been here before. He's been here and performed miracles before, so they're already familiar with who he is. And so when he comes back there to this land, and his fame is so spread and people recognize him, well, immediately they want to start bringing people to him just like they do everywhere else. Well, it says, they bring unto him one. The they right here would have been the friends, perhaps the family of the deaf man. And so they have so much compassion and love for this man, their friend or relative, that they want to see him healed. And they bring him to the only source that they know is able to heal him. Now, we don't know how long he's been deaf. He was not deaf from birth, because he's able to speak, but he has an impediment, the Bible says. The only way that you're able to speak and be able to form language is if you can hear your own voice and hear things. And so that's how you form your speech. If you were suddenly unable to hear yourself talk, you wouldn't be able to speak very well. You'd be all over the place. You wouldn't know what you were saying. So this man has been able to hear at one time, but now he's deaf and he has this impediment. He's speaking. He can't speak very well. And so this is a big hindrance to him, especially if he does any kind of work out in the public or some trying to make a living by doing something where he has to communicate. And so it's going to be very frustrating for him, very hard for him to make a living. And so they want to bring him to Jesus. And let me tell you right now, friends, the greatest thing you can do to anybody, for anybody on this earth, is to bring them to Jesus. You can bring them to other places, but it's nothing compared to bring them to Jesus. And you know what's interesting is a lot of people today are very excited to bring people to other places besides Jesus. I work with people that they don't go to church. They're not church people. They're not very religious. A lot of them are atheists, and they call themselves agnostics and things like that. There are some Catholics that go to or work with me, but they're not. They don't do like we do. They don't go to church like we do on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday and all this. But they are very excited when they invite somebody to go to some kind of secular activity, maybe a movie, a concert. Especially across the street from where we work, there's a tavern there, the black horse or black dog or black something. I've never been in there, but I see it from our window, and all these people that go in there, it's a tavern, a place where they drink and eat and things. And they're real excited to go there. They're excited to go to other people's houses and things. But you don't see this excitement for people to bring folks to Jesus. And we're going to look at that closer as we finish, because I want to bring something up to you, what it says in that those last two verses that we read. So they bring him to Jesus. Now, like I said, he probably was not born deaf, because he is able to speak some. But of all the miracles Jesus performed, this is the only specific deaf man that's mentioned. A specific man. Now, it does mention that he did heal deaf people, but it's just in general deaf people. But this is a specific man that he's healed. And we know that Jesus did heal other deaf people. The Bible is very plain on it. In fact, when John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus to see if he is the one, even though he'd already declared him to be the Lamb that take away the sin of the world, he then sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask if he is the one. And this is what Jesus told him. In Matthew 11 and 4 through 6, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So what he's doing when he did this, he's reminding John the Baptist of the prophecy of the scripture, what Isaiah said. What these old prophets in the Old Testament said about the coming Messiah. He would do all these things. He said, you go tell John this. And so this is going to be a clear sign to John, yes, he is the one. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, it says this in Isaiah 35, 5 through 6, talking about the Messiah that would come. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Those were all signs of the coming Messiah, which the Jews should have known. And that is one of the things about them. The Bible says that he came unto his own received him not. And with all the signs that he gave them, each thing, the scripture that was fulfilled, the prophecies, he fulfilled them down to the very letter, but yet they still rejected him. And so, they're rejected today. Well, the miracles of Jesus were necessary to authenticate his messiahship. That's one of the things. If he is who he claims to be, then he would have to be able to do these miracles. It authenticated him. Not only did they identify him as the Savior of the world, but it also gives us an insight to the love and compassion that Jesus has for people, especially people that are hurting, people that are not able to help themselves, people that are without. Jesus made a point to go to those people and to help them. I never see in the Bible where he ever turns anyone away. Even the Syrophoenician woman, where it looked like he was giving her a hard time and saying, you know, it's not meat that I should give you the bread that belongs to the children of Israel, and give it to the dogs. And so even though it looked like he may be going to reject her, he did not. He accepted her. Everybody that ever came to Jesus for help, he always helped them. And so it gives us an insight of his love, his compassion, his mercy for those that are in need. And may I say to you tonight, if you can't believe the miracles of Christ, then there's no way that you can believe in enough to be saved. You must believe all the miracles. You must, especially the two most miraculous miracles that's in the Bible, the virgin birth and the resurrection of Christ. If you can't believe in those two things, there is simply no way you could be saved. You must believe those. Those things are instrumental. Those are doctrinal foundations of all of our faith and belief. If it wasn't for both of those things, our faith would be in vain. Just as Paul says, you know, if Christ wasn't risen, then our faith is in vain. Our preaching is in vain, but it's not, because he did resurrect on the third day, just like he said he did. And so these things that Jesus did, these are instrumental in understanding exactly who he was, how he can be our Savior, his qualifications as the Messiah, and also a look at his love for people like us. So listen, there is no belief in Jesus outside of his miracles. You must believe them all.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bailey Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.